It is good to be back at Tanner this evening. Open your Bibles to Romans 12. Romans 12, 9 through 18. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now I'm going to ask you, in all the studies that you've done through the years, all the references that you've looked up, all of the scripture you've read, have you ever read a passage with more packed more with good wisdom, good advice, good conduct? If this passage right here was followed by every member of the church, we would have peace, we would have harmony, and we would be having this building full. This building would be packed because people would be drawn to us. This is excellent advice. Now, certainly an entire series can be preached on this passage. Not doing that, especially not tonight. But what I want us to focus on is verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, as we talk about being good neighbors tonight. Being good neighbors. Long before the days of air-conditioned homes, on a hot, blistering Sunday afternoon, after the worship service, a local family, a local church family, invited the minister and his family to lunch. Well, the food was finally prepared and everyone seated around the table. And Daddy says to the little boy, little 10-year-old boy, Johnny, would you say the prayer? Oh, Dad, I don't know what to say. And Mom spoke up and said, just say what I say. And the little boy bowed his head and said, oh, Lord, why did I invite these people here on such a hot day? Our text talks about being given to hospitality. That is literally pursuing it. Not just accepting an opportunity when it comes along and basically stares us in the face, but actually looking for opportunities or even making opportunities to be hospitable. Actively seeking it. What we're talking about tonight is the good old-fashioned concept of simply being a good neighbor. Now, of course, we all know that there are some out there who have either forgotten this principle or never learned it in the first place. Obviously so. I heard about one lady one time. This is absolutely a true story. This lady. Now, Danny, you know all my stories are true. Some are just truer than others, right? But this is true. This lady was such an irritating, bad attitude, just old curmudgeon. Everything was wrong. Everything was bad. And she was so ill-tempered that she could not get along with any of her neighbors. And if they happened to let their lawn sprinkler get just a little too close and wet her car, she would demand that they pay to have her car washed. She would demand it. This woman couldn't get along with anybody, obviously. She could not enjoy her neighbors, and she was always unhappy. Certainly, that's not the picture of a Christian. I saw this statement. Check this out. Neighbors, the strangers who live next door. That's what neighbors are. The strangers who live next door. Isn't that sad? That's not the way it used to be. I found another one. It said, neighbors, the only people who listen to both sides of an argument. Y'all ain't getting that. That's funny. Because the husband and wife are not listening to each other, but the neighbors are hearing both of them. All right, whatever. One fellow wrote about meeting his new neighbors. This is the story of how he met his new neighbors, okay? He wrote, My quiet Saturday morning ended suddenly when my 12-year-old son Billy and one of his friends burst through the door. "Hey, Dad," announced Billy, "have you met the new neighbors?" "No, I haven't." "Come on, Dad, you got to meet them. Some other time, I'm really busy right now." "No, Dad, you have to meet them now." Well, from the urgency in Billy's voice, I assumed the neighbors were waiting outside. So I set aside my project and went to the front of the house. No one was there. "Where are they?" I asked. "Well, Dad, we haven't met them yet either, but our baseball is in their living room." Time to meet the new neighbors. It's a shame when if that's the case, but it has become that way in so many neighborhoods today. And I don't know really in so many, I don't know why they call them neighborhoods, because no one knows anybody. Now granted, we live in a different world today than we did when we were growing up, those of us who are above the age of 50. Growing up, the people that lived in your neighborhood pretty much had always lived there, with very few exceptions. There wasn't that much moving in, moving out. Did you know the average American family today moves about every 7 years? And in some cases, about every 3. Isn't that something? They move. The average American family now moves about once every 7 years. And I'm not necessarily talking about moving to another town, but they move from one house to another house on average about once every 7 years. Isn't that something? I don't get that. But that's one reason why the failure of neighborhoods, why there's so many people. The house next door to Faye and me, Daryl Long and his wife and family, he's principal at, I can't remember, Hazel Green. He's the new principal at Hazel Green. Anyway, they were next door neighbors to us, and they tried to sell their house, couldn't sell it. He got the job, he had to move up there. So they had their house on the market for a long time, and there were some people that moved in, you know, rent to own, and they lived there about 3 or 4 months. Good house. They didn't stay. And then we had another family moved in just to rent. They lasted a year or so. They didn't stay. And then we had another family that just moved in just a couple of months ago, and they didn't stay either. Faye and I are decided that we're the worst neighbors in the neighborhood, evidently, because they're right next door to us. But, you know, the thing is, folks just don't stay put. And so that is happening. But in spite of that, we still need to make the effort to be good neighbors. What does the Bible say about this? Well, in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, beginning, as we've already saw, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. What we're supposed to do, verse 15, is to rejoice. This shows you how to be a good neighbor. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't consider yourself better. Don't be wise in your own opinion, your own view of yourself. I'm more important than anybody else. Don't think like that. Repay no one evil for evil. Every now and then you're going to have a bad neighbor, aren't you? Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Wisdom, good advice for how to be a good neighbor. The next chapter, Romans 13, verse 8 beginning. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now here, Paul is restating several of the Ten Commandments, and specifically commandments that relate to our fellow man. 4 of the 10 deal with man's relationship with God. 6 of the 10 deal with man's relationship with his fellow man. And the point of it is that if we treat people the way God has commanded us to, we're going to be good neighbors. Very good neighbors. Now, everybody wants good neighbors. I read about a man who was selling his little farm, and one of the features that he put in the advertisement as an advantage, as an important selling point, was it has a good neighbor. That was one of the selling points for his little farm. Well, that's worth something, because you certainly wouldn't want it has a bad neighbor. Yeah, I wouldn't even look at that place if it's got a bad neighbor. There's the insurance company that has this advertisement. And congregation, I need your help. I want you to finish this for me. Like a good neighbor. How did you know? How did you know that? There's only one way you could know that. You've heard that before. Over and over and over again. If you hear it often enough, you start to actually believe it. And they've got some good business out of that. Because everybody wants a good neighbor. They want someone that they can turn to in time of need. There's an old proverb that says, goes like this: to have a good neighbor, you must be a good neighbor. In Luke chapter 10, 25 to 28, Jesus discusses the two great commandments as he's talking to this lawyer. And he asked the lawyer, what are the two great commandments? And the lawyer says, you're to love God with all your being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, good, then you do this and you will live. Well, the lawyer didn't want to look foolish. I don't know of anybody really anywhere that wants to look foolish. But a lawyer certainly doesn't want to be made to look foolish. So he then comes back by asking Jesus a loaded question. And just who is my neighbor? Just who is my neighbor? And, of course, that's the reason for the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, 30 through 37. And, of course, the point of the story is my neighbor is anyone who needs me. Are you hearing? My neighbor is anyone who needs me. Specifically, anyone that I can help who needs my help. That's who my neighbor is. If they need me, if I'm able to be of help to them, that is my neighbor. And Jesus is not just referring to people who live nearby. Our neighbors are people all over this world. If we have the ability, if they have a need, and we have the ability to help them, and the opportunity to help, then certainly they are our neighbor. Now, being a good neighbor starts with our attitude. If the attitude is present of, why do they ask for help at such inconvenient times? If that's the attitude, we're missing something. That doesn't exactly reveal the heart of a good neighbor, does it? The attitude of being a good neighbor is revealed in kindness to others, generosity, willingness to serve, visits and feasting together, just to name a few. May I borrow a cup of sugar? Or, don't worry about your place while you're gone. I'll look after things. That is a mark of a good neighbor. Back when Faye and I lived in Chattanooga many long years ago, we were trying to move a staircase downstairs. That was a two-story house. And the den was actually downstairs. We're trying to move this bookcase down there. And Faye was strong enough to handle it, but I couldn't handle it. And so we're trying to move it, and we had to take it out the front door around the house because the way the stairwell was such, it would not make the turn. So the only way to get it in there was to go around the house into the garage. So we're getting down the hill around behind the house, and Faye's doing fine, and I'm about to die. And then our neighbor Keith saw this, and he just literally dropped what he was doing and ran and rescued Faye from the bookcase. And we got that in there, and he said, why didn't you call me? And he meant it. He meant it. You know, there are times when somebody will say, oh, listen, call me if you need anything. And you know they don't really mean it, okay? If you say that, mean it. Mean it. And he did. But that's the kind of thing we're talking about being a good neighbor. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth, evidently, these are the parents of John the Baptist, evidently they were pretty good neighbors themselves because they had some good neighbors. Listen to Luke 1, 57, 58. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son, And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. They were right there rejoicing with her. They dropped what they were doing and they came to her and rejoiced with her in the birth of her child. See, you want people to care about you. You want people to be there for you when you need them. You got to be there for them when they need you. You do. You just really do. In 2 Kings 4 and 3, during a terrible famine, Elisha told this widow to borrow from all her neighbors all the empty containers that she could borrow. And these he miraculously filled with oil so she and her two sons would not starve to death, so they could live. And these containers did not go empty the whole time that the famine continued. Now, but she obviously had to have a relationship with her neighbors in order to be able to borrow from them. Most of us, of course, would be good neighbors in such a case. When we see a real need, most all of us are willing to help. That is certain. But remember, given to hospitality means actively pursuing the opportunities to be a good neighbor. Actively pursuing it. Here are a few scriptures that relate to the attitude of a good neighbor, and they will draw our conclusion. In 1 Peter 4 and 9, be hospitable one to another without grumbling. I like that. Be hospitable without grumbling. Man, why do they have to? I can't believe that. No. Be hospitable without grumbling. We need to do that. Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Now that one, you say, why did you throw that in there? You can be too good of a neighbor. You can become a nosy neighbor. Now, nothing happened in Hackleburg without Marg Lawrence knowing about it. Nothing. This woman, member of the church, elderly lady, but she knew every tidbit of gossip, everything, good or bad, she knew about it. I don't know what her connections were, but somehow she knew what was going on everywhere. And I would just picture that any time a car went by, she's looking out the window. Now, a nosy neighbor, by the way, just to make sure that the word got around, I proposed to Faye in front of Marg Lawrence's house, by the way. That's a true story. Just to make sure word got around that we were going to get married. But you can ask her to tell you about that sometime. The thing I'm saying is we got to be careful that we don't become like Steve Urkel. Does that name ring a bell with any of you? The most obnoxious, irritating neighbor you could ever have. He was a drop-in, everyday kind of neighbor. Obviously, we don't need to be that kind of neighbor where we're interfering with people's lives. But we need to be there when they need us. We need to be available if we possibly can. Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. I hope John has some good neighbors in Idaho, because I can't help him from here. It would be very difficult if he got in trouble for me to be able to get there in time to help him. I hope that he has some good neighbors, because he lives a long way from here. All of us need people near us that we are close to, that can help us and that we can be helpful to when the time of need comes. Romans 15:1-2. We then that are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification or the building up of that neighbor. This is part of the characteristic description of what a good neighbor is. Ephesians 4:25, therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This, of course, talking about how we deal with our neighbors who are in the church in our relationship to fellow Christians. Now, I often hear folks complain that people just don't visit like they used to, and I've made the same complaint, and it is true. And in our society, it's a wise thing to call before you just drop in. That's a wise thing because people are busy and they're on the move. Used to, the houses were unlocked and somebody was pretty much always home. It's not exactly that way anymore, and so people are coming and going. It's a good idea to call, but still, we just don't know what we're missing. People have become more self-sufficient. We entertain ourselves at home more than ever before, and people may just not feel the need for neighbors as much as they used to. Sitting on the porch, drinking sweet tea, and talking about farming and the weather and how to raise the kids, politics and religion. These are things that typically are not going to be done much anymore as a society. And that's a shame. That's a shame. Because we need that kind of interaction with each other. People just don't know what they're missing. But we can change that with a few visits ourselves. We can't change our whole society. And we certainly cannot impact our world. But we can impact our neighborhoods. We can be people who are seen as caring, as interested in others than just ourselves. We can be seen that way by simply making more visits ourselves, by calling on people that are our neighbors, people that we know, friends, yes, family, yes, but neighbors, people that live near us. We need to be more aggressive that way. Of course, as I said, call first. But the main thing is we should be willing to visit and to be visited. Have people in your home. Invite people over to have a meal with you or just to sit on the porch and talk and drink a Kool-Aid or something and just enjoy being together. If we're willing to entertain and to encourage and help our neighbor, whoever and wherever he is, that is being a good neighbor. As Mr. Rogers said for more than 38 years, "Won't you be my neighbor?" That's the plea that we should make to the people around us. How else can we influence them for good? So let's reach out. I know Friends and Family Day is coming up next week. Great opportunity. Hope you'll take advantage of it. But let's reach out to the people around us. Let's look for anything we can do to be of help to them. Let's visit and let's invite people to come and visit with us. Open up our lives to people. I know we're all busy. I know we've got busy schedules and things to do. We might need to rethink some of our scheduling and make some time to reach out to others. Consider that. Think about that as you go through this week. Naturally, this lesson has not necessarily been geared toward evangelism or toward calling someone to become a Christian, certainly. Give me some volume, Nick. But the thing that we need to remember is that God calls us to Him all the time. He's patient with us. He's kind. He loves us. He cares about us. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to be His people, to be faithful to Him, to serve Him. And the way we treat our fellow man, it reflects upon our relationship with God.